Rabbi Leff.
You're welcome. And but I really want to get started. Okay. We were still discussing some of the inyanim of birth, the issues that come up. One of the issues which I had mamish this past week, I just named the baby by the bris today, but 2 weeks ago the mother called me about being induced. They wanted to induce her for medical reasons. There are a few objections to inducement. Rav Moshe Feinstein says an objection that you're putting yourself into a makom sakana before the makom sakana arises. And a woman, it's a mitzvah, she doesn't have her own mitzvah, she has a mitzvah to help her husband, Mekayim Puravu, and to be populate the world, so she has a right to get pregnant, even though she's going to put herself into a makom sakana. But the mice, we have no right to bring that makom sakana faster. So that's one problem with inducing. And the second problem, which they say, which is not really an inyan, is that a person's mazel is determined on the moment that he's born, and you shouldn't play around with that. But the emphasis is that with all the inducing that can be, unless the woman is the baby is taken by cesarean, right? It doesn't. They can't guarantee when the child's going to be born. They can just set things into motion, and still it takes its natural course. So you're not, you know, being goreim the mazel of the child. Besides the fact that they induce it, that's a mazel of the child. It's not an inyan. That's a stama. But the main thing is the creating a makom sakana as a pikuach nefesh, where maybe it's not yet warranted. Therefore, if there are legitimate medical reasons to induce, not just comfort for the mother or comfort for the doctor, you know, he has a golf game to play and he really wants a baby to be born already, right? But it's a legitimate either medical reason, and then it's good to ask a second opinion. And then for sure, there's no inyan of not bringing upon them pikuach nefesh, because if you don't do it, it's going to be worse pikuach nefesh. Also, if the woman, for instance, wants a certain doctor, and she's very insecure, and if she doesn't have that doctor, she's going to panic, then inducing to be able to have that doctor by the birth is also an inyan of pikuach nefesh. Because a woman's state of mind during the time that her life is endangered by the birth is pikuach nefesh. It's across the board by everything. A person's, you're allowed to turn on a light for a blind person or turn off a light for a blind person on Shabbos because it makes him feel more secure one way or the other. So that's also part of the pikuach nefesh. Okay, so that's inducement. If there's a medical reason, if there is a reason why the woman would feel insecure if she wasn't induced because of whatever, because the doctor, whatever it may be, then there's heter for sure to induce. If it's just being done for convenience, it's not proper to do. Yeah.
Why would that be a problem also with any of the shtick that they tell you to do, like climbing stairs and stuff like that? Shouldn't that apply to that also? Because if you're, I mean, it's not a medicine, but if it's causing it to happen earlier, shouldn't that be the same problem?
I don't know if that's causing it to happen earlier. That's just, I guess, setting it to motion. I don't know if that would be mamish. Inducing is really speeding up the process. Walking up the stairs doesn't speed the process. It takes away any of the manias that are there to begin with. When we get to the other end of life, there's a very big difference between causing somebody to die or taking away the deterrents that are holding him back from dying. Similar over here. Yeah?
Is there different types of inducements?
There are more invasive ways, so it's a stripping. And then there's with chemicals or what's it called, drugs that a woman could take that can induce labor, breaking her water. Most of the time, the method is determined by what the medical need is. Right? The woman that they called me 2 weeks ago, just had a baby last week, she had a medical condition, and if the baby was too big, they would have to take it out by cesarean from her, and not natural, and she didn't want cesarean. I mean, it's obviously more of an operation than a natural birth. And therefore, they wanted to induce her before the baby would come to the critical mass of not being able to be born normally. So that, I told her that as long as she has a second opinion that that's the case, they should do it. But I told her to hold off and take another ultrasound to see if the baby stock is growing as fast as they think. Or in the end, she was not induced, and she had a normal, but took a while. So. Okay. And they didn't think the baby was that big, and when the baby came out, he was big. It was bigger than they thought. So, okay. But Baruch Hashem, she's okay. Okay, next. I think the next thing is Shalom Zohar. Okay, the kid is born. Oh, no, next is the brachas. We spoke about the brachas you make? No. Last time. So the halacha is like this. When a person hears that he had a boy, even if he doesn't see the child, he's not even there in the same room or building. We spoke about the father being there? Or that? No, so not. Yeah, okay. So he makes a bracha, Atova Meitiv. Because another boy in the world, even if he wanted a girl, he has 20 boys and he's been hoping for a girl, still only make Atova Meitiv by a boy and not by a girl. There are various reasons. One is that a boy, I don't know if it applies anymore today, but Shalom Zohar, right, is because Bo Zohar La'olam, Bo Shalom La'olam, because a boy comes with the ability to earn a parnasa. Today, probably the opposite is true. I don't know if that's the case. But in any case, so you make whatever it is, a tova meitiv you make by a boy, and by a girl, the first time you see the baby, and if you forgot the first time, it could be even the next, second time, third time, when it's still something new and fresh, you make a shechiyanu. Now, there's a shaila whether you make a shechiyanu also the first time you see the boy. And what we were nohag years ago was that you make two brachas on a boy, one when you hear the news and the other when you see the baby for the first time. And they're two separate brachas. Atova Meitiv is one inyan, and Shechiyanu is on the, like you see a person for the first time after 12 months, and Mishabura says it's no worse, seeing your kid for the first time. So there's an inyan of Shechiyanu, and that applies to a girl, but it also applies to a boy. Others hold that the Hatova Meitiv covers both things, and therefore you don't make two brachas. Whatever posik you follow, whatever they hold, that's what you should do. That's what you should tell people also. And you should, I tell people they should make both brachas for a boy and one bracha for a girl. You should either let your wife know that she should make the brachas, same brachas, or that you could be motzi her. If you're there, to be motzi her, like we spoke about, should be after she's able to wash her hands, able to make a bracha, and that you're not looking in places where you're not allowed to make a bracha. So if you're there and you want to be motzi your wife and these two brachas, you can do that too. Okay. Next, Shalom Zohar.
Just like an induction, if it's just for convenience, I presume a cesarean section just for convenience.
That what?
A cesarean section.
Yeah, a cesarean section, is, if it's not for medical reasons, it creates more of a sakana. Also, it puts a woman in more sakana the next pregnancies or whatever, right? That sometimes, even though now you can still have a natural childbirth after a cesarean, it used to be that once there was one cesarean, that was it. All the others had to be cesarean. So now, medically changed, but not too long ago it was a fact that a woman had a cesarean, that was it.
But
yeah, because again, because it's putting the woman in more danger for the future and for this time also.
How long could you wait for your wife to get ready before saying it?
plenty of time, even the next day, right? It's not, especially the first child, right? The freshness and the simcha lasts for a long time. Even a new suit, if you didn't make it mamish the first time that you bought it or whatever, as long as it's new to you and you still feel a simcha with it, you can still make the bracha. Yeah.
What about
Hatov
Meitiv?
Same thing about Hatov Meitiv, yeah. Okay, Shalom Zachar. So there are a few reasons given for Shalom Zachar. I have a minig, started in Miami, that every Shalom Zachar I try to say a new tam, not a completely new tam, but something, a new variation of the inyan of a Shalom Zachar. I just said the last one, the last week, it's a new idea that fit very nicely with Hanukkah or something or whatever. And usually tie it to the parsha. And they're all variations on the same thing with a little knach here or there. I'll tell you the problems, and then you can decide how you're going to be mechadish, how to answer these questions or other questions you can. The reasons given for Shalom Zachar, some say that it's mentioned in the Gemara as Yeshua HaBen. Yeshua HaBen. And the reason, and this the Trumas HaDeshen says, that it's a hodah, it's a sudas hodah, shenimlat mime'ei imo, that the child was saved from the mother's womb. Nimlat mime'ei imo. That he was, thrown out of the womb safely, whatever, redeemed from the mother's womb. Very difficult to understand what that means, because the Gemara says that the 9 months that a child is inside the womb is the best part of your life, right? Everything is serene, and there's a candle burning at the top of the child's head, right? Some say that's why most women have heartburn when they're pregnant, right? But it doesn't really mean that there's a candle burning on the head of the person. It means that there's a certain spiritual light, and the Uber can see me sofa olam v'atsofo. And he doesn't have to bother. He's fed, you know, through the mother, and he has that closeness. You can't get closer to the mother than that, right? So it's the most serene time of life. So what does it mean? He was saved from the mother's womb. If anything, the kid would probably like to stay there the rest of his life. You know, it's a much nicer situation, probably, than coming out into this world. So what kind of suddas hodah that he was saved from the mother's womb? If anything, he should, you know, sit shiva for a while, you know, that he had to get out of that situation. Then there's the second reason. Second reason is the Taz. The Taz says that, the Gemara says in Nida, that the entire time a child is inside the womb, a malach teaches him Torah. And just as he's born, the malach hits him on the lips and he forgets it all. So we come to Menachem Avil, to the child, for what's it called, for forgetting his Torah. So a few questions. First of all, the Maral says, if you want somebody to forget something, you don't hit him on the lips, you hit him on the head. Why in the world do you hit him on the lips, make him forget? Secondly, why in the world would this malach keep this job? If I was a malach, I knew it. Every kid I taught, right, they're going to forget everything at the end of the session, right? And why in the world would I waste my time? What's the purpose of learning something and then forgetting it? And thirdly, which is my question, and that is, it says, "Bekoshi hitiru nichum aveilim b'Shabbos." The chatchila, you don't go to be Menachem Avil on Shabbos. They don't even sit shiv on Shabbos. But if you can't go during the week, then b'di'evid, you can be menachem somebody on Shabbos too. So why in the world would they make nichum aveilim for the child's learning dafka on Shabbos? Make it dafka during the week, not dafka on Shabbos. The other reasons why we make a simcha shenimlat me'imo dafka on Shabbos, because that's when people are around. During the week, people are working. But according to this reason, nichum aveilim is a reason but dafka not to make it on Shabbos. Right here, you could make it during the week, make it on Shabbos. People are around on Shabbos, make it on Shabbos. That's the Taz. The Prisha says another idea, that Sheyira HaMatronisa Tchila, the meal is like a korban, and you come face to face with the Rabbanu Shalom Kibiyachal by the Mila, the Shechina, right? That's what a korban is. Before you go to the boss, you have to go through the secretary. And Shabbos Malka is like the secretary. So first you have to have, just like a korban. Shivas yomim tiyat tachasim. Well, before you can bring a korban, one Shabbos has to pass by. Can't bring a korban before the animal 7 days, and there's no 7 days without a Shabbos. And therefore, you can't bring a korban until at least one Shabbos passes by. So you can't make the korban of the mila. Mila is like haktoris ktoris, and the sandik is like a mizbeach, says. So you can't have that korban until you first go through the secretary, the matronisa. That's the prisha. And then, in a conjunction with that, there's another reason they say, based on an Orach Chaim HaKadosh and a Maral, neither of them say this idea of the Gabi Shalom Zachar, but putting them together, it applies to Shalom Zachar too. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, well, let's start with the Maral. The Maral says that Shabbos is Mekor HaBracha, that whatever is going to happen during the week, the Mekor of those Kochos come from the Shabbos before. To make that more understandable is the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Kisisa comments on the pasuk Ki Sheshes Yomim Osa Hashem Es HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz. So like the Ramban asks, it shouldn't say Ki Sheshes Yomim, it should say Ki Bisheshes Yomim Osa Hashem Es HaShemayim V'Sa'aretz. The Ramban gives his pshat why it says Sheshes Yomim. You can look in the Ramban and see what it says. And the Orach Chaim HaKadosh brings down a Zohar, a different pshat. He says like this: when the world was created, it had enough energy to exist for 6 days. The Rebbeinu Shem gave it a koach to exist for 6 days. That was it. After 6 days, the energy, the battery wore out, and the world would cease to exist. So there's a battery charger. The battery charger is called Shabbos. And from Briyas HaOlam on, right, there was somebody who always kept Shabbos. Right, Adam HaRishon kept Shabbos, and so on. Or according to others, before Klal Yisrael were given the Torah, nobody kept Shabbos. But the Shabbos itself charged the battery. Once the Shabbos was given to Klal Yisrael, Shmira Shabbos charges the battery. If there would be no Jew keeping Shabbos at all, the battery would wear out. As more Jews keeping it, the more intensely, the more the battery is charged. The more significant the world is, the more substantial it is. So it comes out that the next 6 days get their koach from the Shabbos before. The Shabbos before creates the power for another 6 days. So that Shabbos, therefore, in that respect, is the beginning of the week. It's not the end of the week. It's the hakdama, it's the battery charge for the next 6 days. And we find that Shabbos is not only the end of the week, but it's also the beginning of the week. Where do you find that? The Gemara says like this: somebody's lost in the desert, Gemara in Shabbos, and he has amnesia. He loses track of time. He doesn't know what day it is. He wakes up in the morning, he doesn't know what day it is. So the Gemara says like this: two days. One day is that night he makes Shabbos. Maybe it's Shabbos. He doesn't know. He doesn't have no idea what day it is. He's in the middle of the desert. There's no calendars. There's no people to ask. It could be any day of the week. So that night he makes Shabbos, and then he counts 6 days and makes another Shabbos and keeps this up until he finds out when Shabbos really is. And the Gemara says that all week he's allowed to do things that are pikuach nefesh. On the day that he made Shabbos, he's also allowed to do things that are pikuach nefesh. On the other days, maybe it's Shabbos, he can't do stam malacha, but anything pikuach nefesh he can do. He can travel, because otherwise he'll never get out of the midbar. The only difference between the day he makes Shabbos and the other days is the fact that he davens Shabbos Dika davening, and he makes Kiddush and Havdalah, whatever, as a takon of the Rabbanon, so he shouldn't forget Shabbos until he knows when Shabbos really is. That's the first day. The second day says that the day that he doesn't know what day it is, he makes that Sunday. Counts 6 days, and the seventh day is Shabbos. So Shaila is, did he make Shabbos right away and then count 6 days and make another Shabbos? Or does he make Sunday right away and count 6 days and then make a first Shabbos? And the Gemara explains the time of the Machlokas, the Svaras. The Mandi Omer who says that you count 6 days and make a Shabbos is Keneged Briyas HaOlam. The Rebbeinu Shem created the world in 6 days and then he made Shabbos. So Shabbos followed 6 days. The Mandi Omer who says that first you make Shabbos and then count 6 days is Lefi Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was created on Friday in the afternoon. So the first full day that he had was the Shabbos. And then he had 6 days. So for him, Shabbos was the beginning of the week, not the end of the week. Mainly, you see that Shabbos has both things. Shabbos is the main Olam Haba, it's the Tachlis of the world, and it's also the first day of giving Koach for another 6 days to come. Right? The battery ran out, and Adam Arishon recharged the battery, right? Or the Shabbos recharged the battery, whatever. So therefore, since the energy, the whole Kiyum of the next 6 days comes from the Shabbos before, so whatever's going to happen during those 6 days gets its koach from Shabbos. So therefore you begin to prepare for those things the Shabbos before, because that's where the koach is coming. Therefore, so the Maral says, the Shabbos before Pesach is Shabbos HaGadol, because the koach of Pesach comes from the Shabbos before. So you begin to prepare for that Shabbos, Shabbos before. In fact, you read the Haggadah, you do, well, Mamash, you put in the potential for what's going to come out in the next 6 days for Pesach. The Shabbos before Yom Kippur is Shabbos Shuvah, same thing. You begin that process the Shabbos before. What the Maral doesn't say is it applies to many other things. Shabbos before a Chasen is an Ufruf, right? Shabbos Kala. Shabbos before a bar mitzvah by Yerushalmis, by Sfardim, many, they celebrate the Shabbos before the birthday. Same idea. Puts a koach into whatever. A Shabbos before a bris, a Shalom Zachar. So all the things, the Shabbos before is significant because the inyonim that are going to come during the week are what's it called, come from the Shabbos before. Now, the things that have to do with the bris, you should see the matronisa tchila, or that it's a preparation for the bris, you can understand why there's only a Shalom Zachar and not a Shalom Nekeva. But according to the other reasons, forgot the Torah. Girls learn Torah too, right? They're also hitting the mouth, right? Even Goyim Estama learn Torah in the womb. They're Torah. Right, it says that a goy who learns his sheva mitzvahs is bigger than a kohen gadol amoritz. Asher yaseh ha'osam ha'adam v'chay bohem. Ha'adam means even goyim. So goyim have their chelik in Torah too. They're goyish in Torah, right? The sheva mitzvah in Noach. So their mestama taught that in the womb also, and the women are taught their chelik in Torah too. Women make a brichas haTorah. They have also a chelik in Torah, right? So they have to learn their Torah. So the Chorah doesn't only apply to men. Why doesn't a woman have a Shalom Zachar? Shalom Nekeva. And the first reason, for sure, she also was saved from the womb. So the simplest answer is that they were misakin this as a minig where all the reasons apply. The Ikar reasons are the bris. And the other reasons are tagged on. So the girl doesn't have the Ikar reason, male doesn't have the Tafel either. We'll see other reasons, though. But it revolves around the bris. So what I want to explain, and then you'd have to apply it to every specific situation, but the major idea is the following. A person, the purpose of this world is to create Olam Haba. That's the only reason the world was created, right? This world wasn't necessary. The Rabban Hashem could have fulfilled his purpose of creating neshamas and giving them the tainug hanitzchi of having a kesher with him, right? Showering his goodness on them, which is Olam Haba, Sadiqim Yoshvim, Vatroseim, Barasheim, the Nehenem Izivashchina. So the Rabban Hashem could have done that without this world. But since the Rabban Hashem knew that the neshama would not appreciate that tainug 100% if it was given for free, because mayim, what's it called, because it's a nahama dechsufa, it's a bread that you're embarrassed to eat if you didn't earn it. So therefore the Rabban Hashem put the neshama in this world, distance from him, and said, you create the relationship with me and you create your Olam Haba. So the whole purpose of this world is Adam la'amal yulad. Amal means that you take something potential and you actualize it. You create it. You bring it out. That's the purpose of this world, Mimela. Sure, the time that a person is inside the womb is very calm, serene, and beautiful time of life. But that's not the tachlis why you're here. That's counterproductive. Right? That's not why you're supposed to be here. Take it easy. You can take it easy in Olam Haba. You don't need this world to take it easy. So the purpose of this world is to face challenges and to be dynamic and to go through the omel and yegiyah of this world. Adam the omel yulat. That's why you were born. So therefore, he was saved from the mother, meaning your tachlis wasn't to remain at rest. Your tachlis was to be mashlim yourself. The mela. A person has to learn Torah when he's being formative, because Torah is not something that is gashmi, and it can never be integrated into your gashmiistic mind just on a gashmiistic level. So if a person didn't learn Torah from a malach when he was developing and it became part of him, he'd never be able to really to integrate that Torah later on, because you can't take something ruchni and attach it into brain cells which are gashmiist. So therefore, it's like he's programmed with the Torah. Except the purpose is not that you should know all the Torah. The purpose is the Amal Yigiyah. Says that the Vilna Gaon was offered to learn with Malachim. Madrichim that he was going to have from Malachim. And he refused. He said the purpose is not to learn Torah from Malachim. The purpose is to learn it with Amal Yigiyah. That's what you put in this world. So therefore, says the Maral, it's not that the child forgets the whole Torah. It's still there. It's in part of him, potentially. And if it wouldn't be there potentially, he wouldn't be able to ever access it. But he's hit in the mouth, where is the threshold between actualizing the Torah and having it, on the other side, only potential. You're given the potential. Now you are supposed to bring it out. So that's why the malach hits him on the mouth, not on the head, in order that the Torah now can become potential that you have to actualize. But that's the purpose. And that's the idea also of the whole idea of a bris. The whole idea of a bris is a person is born incomplete, imperfect. The orla is an imperfection. And you're supposed to perfect yourself. Otherwise, the Rosh should create you perfect. Should have made you mohel. Why do you have to be mohel? That's the idea. You were created imperfect. You're in an imperfect world. You're supposed to make it more perfect. That's the Medrash says that the Turnus Rufus HaRosha once asked Rabbi Akiva, what's better, what people make or what God makes? So he expected Rabbi Akiva to say what God makes is better than what people make. And then he was going to attack him. If you admit that what God makes is better than what people make, then we Goyim are better than you Jews. Because we're the way that God made us, uncircumcised. And you're the way a mole made you. You're man-made, we're God-made. So we're superior. So Rabbi Akiva surprised him. Rabbi Akiva said, of course, what people make is better than what God makes. So it took the wind out of his sails, like the Sturm Surface says, how you talking? How's it shaykh? He says, simple. You're going home to eat lunch. Your wife made bread and cake, and God made wheat. I'll take the bread and cake over the wheat any day of the week. Meaning what? The Rabban Hashem created the raw materials. He made an imperfect, undeveloped world, potential. And man is supposed to develop that potential. That's what some say, the Pasuk, Asher Bara Elohim La'asos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Borei the Olam in its unfinished state. La'asos, the people should finish it. So we're like a Shutif in Maisa Bereishis. So that's the purpose. The purpose is that you should perfect yourself, not that you should be born perfect. So that is what's it called, the concept of learning everything. So you have the potential now, but it's not actualized. You're supposed to actualize it. Now you're supposed to bring it out. And that is exactly what happens by a Zohar. By a Zohar, you see it, right, by the Bris. So all these concepts are one. They're just different aspects of this concept of what the Bris is, that a person is not Shalem and he has to make himself Shalem. So he has to learn the Torah and then forget it, make it only potential and not actual, because you have to actualize it. And therefore, nimlat mimeimo, because it's a simcha to be able to be dynamic in this world, even not take it easy, right? Not to have a serene place. You could have a serene place in Olam Haba. You don't even come to this world to do that. This world's a place to la'amo yulat. So they all really go together. The mela, according to that, I want to answer the other question too. Nichum Avelim. And why dafka on Shabbos? That which it says bekoshi hitiru nichum avelim b'Shabbos only applies to one kind of nichum avelim. But there's another kind of nichum avelim which I'm sure, it doesn't say anywhere, but I'm sure is mutter lechatchila lemahadrin on Shabbos. What's a regular nichum avelim? Somebody dies and you come to Menachem Avil. So you tell him, look, you know, it's a terrible thing and you have to get on with life and comfort him or whatever. That nichum avelim is not for Shabbos. There's another kind of nichum avelim. Somebody dies, somebody supposedly died, and the guy is starting to sit shiva, and somebody realizes that they made a mistake. And the person who supposedly died didn't die. He's still alive, right? They made a mistake. Got the wrong name or whatever. I remember once, I think it was Cholomoy Pesach, or Cholomoy Sukkos, I don't remember now when. The head of Machon Lev, whose name happened to be Zev Lev, with a beis, was Nifter. And I was driving with my son to the Kosel. I remember it was Cholom Moed. And all of a sudden, I see this sign on the Avil sign. It says Zev Lev. I said to my son, take a good look. Am I still here? I got calls. My wife got calls. We heard the news or whatever. I got a call. I answered the phone. The people, like, you know, were starting. Sometimes it may make a mistake. It didn't happen. So I guarantee you it's mutter to Menachem Avil like that, to go to the Avil and tell him, I got good news. The person's not dead. That you can do on Shabbos, too. There's no shaila that l'chatchila is mutter on Shabbos. Same thing over here. You're going to Menachem Avil, the child, not to tell him, oh, it's a terrible thing, you forgot your learning, you have to get on with life, and you have to get used to it. That's not the purpose. You're going to tell him it's not something to misabel. That's the tachlis of life. It's not something bad that you forgot it. That's the purpose. It's good that you forgot. It's all there. But you have to now bring it out with your omel and your gi. If it would be there and you would have it automatically, then what's the tachlis of this world? You could have an old mahabel like that, too. The proper purpose of this world is that you should access it. So you have it. Now just bring it out. Now with your own omel and your gear, that's what life is all about. That kind of nichum avelim is for sure mutter on Shabbos. With that, I wanted to explain something else too. So that's why it's the dafka on Shabbos too. Because Shabbos teaches me what the goal is. The goal is Shabbos, but you need 6 days to reach that Shabbos. So that's the lesson. So you have it on Shabbos to give the child a feeling of what Shleimus is, so now he'll be able to work towards that Shleimus, which is the same lesson of the Bris, which is the same inyan of what's it called, that Shabbos is the makor for what's coming in the coming week as a preparation for the Bris. All these lessons, the Nichum Avim, are a preparation for the Bris. Male doesn't apply to a girl. It only applies to a boy who's going to have a Bris. One thing else I'd like to explain with this is the minig is, because there's an inyan of nichum avelim, to serve arbis, chickpeas, hummus, right? Why? Because it's round, and the Gemara says that it used to be mavre, an ovel, with round things, like lentils or whatever, and this is round, it doesn't have any opening. Smooth, to tell me two things. One is that avelis is a galgal hachozer ba'olam, and that the oval doesn't have a pair, you don't speak to the oval until he speaks first. So that's the symbol of a round thing without any, it's everybody's gonna hit everybody in the world. Somebody at what some time gonna be an oval. The symbolism that the oval doesn't have a pair. So the Gemara says there's a nafkamina between these two reasons. If you're mavre with eggs, because eggs aren't round, they're egg-shaped, right? Whatever, oblong or whatever. So they're what's it called? They're not a galgal. You can't you know what's it called? Turn an egg around like a circle. Chickpeas are round, and other what's it called? Lentils or whatever. So if the reason is only to be maramis, that an oval doesn't have a pair, right? That he has to speak first. You don't speak to him. So then the eggs also fit. But if the idea is it's a galgal achoser, then the eggs don't fit that. And adarava, that's why we're mavre an oval with eggs, because we don't want to say galgal achoser, it's piskum pelisotin. Go to the guy and tell him, well, everybody's going to one day become an oval or whatever, and everybody's going to die, and you don't want to really, you know, the guy has enough tzaras, you don't have to start giving him round things to tell him, well, this is not the end, you know, it's more coming. So that's not the inyan. Piskum pelisotin. But on the other hand, so by a real ovel, we're mavra him with eggs, not with chickpeas. But Friday night, by a shalom zocher, they don't serve eggs, hard-boiled eggs. They serve chickpeas. Now, there could be a push at the reason. Nobody wants to eat after the meal hard-boiled eggs. Rather eat chickpeas. So, but there's a deeper reason, and that's the following. Two things. One is, by a real avelis, if it wouldn't be for a gzeira min hashamayim, that the mace is nishtakach min alev after 12 months, it gets worse and worse. The more you're away from the nifter, the harder it gets. The special gzeira, that doesn't happen. But mitzad ha-teva, right? The more that you're away from the person, the more that you have gaguyim, the more you feel, you know, alone or whatever. So the avelis gets worse and worse as time goes by. Masha'en kain, by the avelis for the lost Torah, just the opposite. The more a kid learns Torah, the less the avelis becomes, the more he's accessing it and bringing it out. So as he gets older, right, and farther away from the birth, the avelis becomes much, much less. When you cook an egg, the more you cook it, the harder it gets. When you cook chickpeas, the more you cook it, the softer it gets. So by a real avel, where we are mavrahim with eggs to show that the avelis gets worse and worse, because the idea is you're separated from the person who died. My showing can the avelis by the Torah is not a terror. You're not separated forever. Adarabba. It's there. You just have to access it. So the more you live and the more you access, the less the avelis is. So therefore, we mavrahim with it. Another reason is, like we said, but we don't want to say piskum pelisotin. Everybody's going to have to go through this, the real avelis, because that's piskum pelisotin. So we use eggs that aren't round. But over here, it's a simcha to tell them everybody's going to go through this. Everybody's going to forget their learning, and everybody's going to have to put the omel in yegia. That's a simcha. That's not a tzara. So it's not a piskum pelisotin. We're wishing him adarava. Kein tikon leish l'torah, l'chup l'maishim tovim. So in Mela, what's it called? We use the chickpeas, not the eggs. Here, you can use something round because it's not a piskum pelisotin. So all those things fit together. Say a new idea, I said, just this past Friday night, has to do with Chanukah also. There was say Bekitzer. There's a medrash that says, Hadudoyim nosnu reyach, ze ruvein shehitzelas Yosef. V'al psochenu kol megodim ze ner Chanukah. So obviously two questions. One is, I understand why Dudoyim refers to Reuven, because he's the one who brought the Dudoyim to his mother. But what does that do with Reuven who saved Yosef? That's a different episode. Should have said that Dudoyim nasan reyach, ze Reuven shehivias Dudoyim. And apsochenu kol megodim ze ner Chanukah. What does that do with Reuven saving Yosef or bringing the Dudoyim? Bekitzer, say like this. Reuven exhibited the following. By bringing the Dudoyim to his mother, he created more of a intense motherhood for Leah, because Leah stopped having children, and these Dudoyim were a fertility drug, and Reuven wanted to make that kesher between him and his mother stronger, to make her a stronger mother, right? So he did it for the sake of his mother, to make her a stronger mother. The same thing goes with that's the same same Reuven wanted to save Yosef. Why? Because he wanted to make him a stronger father. If Yaakov's the father of 11 children, because they killed Yosef, he's less of a father than if he's a father of 12 children. So he wanted to increase the fatherhood of Yaakov, the same idea of why he brought the Dudoyim to his mother, to increase her motherhood. He saved Yosef to increase his fatherhood. Near Chanukah, Klal Yisrael related to the Rabban Shalom, and not as a father, but as an Odom. They were Nisrashil Bavodas Hashem. So near Chanukah, the Chavivus, right, the whole inyan of that lukas haneiros or whatever was to create another bond and make the Rabbanu Shel more of an av than just an adam. So they strengthen also this avus. So I'm telling you, that's a shalom zachar. Shalom zachar is the Shabbos before the bris. You want to create that bond between the child and the father, because the father now is doing the mitzvah of the child. So all of the things that a father's responsible to a child, which create that fatherhood, are represented by the Shalom Zachar. We said, child comes to the world, parnosa, but the father's chayiv to teach him a trade. He forgets his Torah, the father's chayiv to teach him Torah, which makes the kesher stronger. The kid would know everything, he wouldn't need a father to teach him. The father's chayiv lamulo, and the Shabbos before is a hachana for that bris. So all the things that, what's it called, create that strengthen the tie between the child and the father, makes the father more of a father, and now the mitzvah of the child is on the father, that's also an inyan of the Shalom Zachar. So there's always room for something else, and somehow if you can tie it in with the Arbis and the what's it called, and the Nichum Avelim or whatever, so there's infinite amount of what's it called, of combinations that you can possibly think, and somehow kvetch it into the parsha, and that's for Shalom Zachar Torah. Okay, I'm going to stop now. Next time we'll speak about the halachas, when you make the Shalom Zachar, what happens if there's two Shabbosis, what if the child is sick and the bris is not going to be that week. When do you make the Shalom Zachar? Do you make a Shalom Zachar? And then we'll get to the most important part of the bris, when you say Tachnun and when you don't. That's most important for Balabatim, not to say Tachnun. So that's the coming attractions.